You're listening to the Liberty Grace Church Sermon Podcast. For more information, visit libertygrace.ca.
Well, it's good to be back with you guys again after 2 weeks of vacation. Elaine and I were very happy to come home. And it's weird for me to think that we've come home and summer's basically done now. It's weird to think that so much time has gone by, and also that we're at the end of our series going through the Psalms of Ascent. Time has flown so much, but selfishly, I'm not too sad to see summer go. I love the fall. That's my favorite season, so I'm very excited for the season we have coming up. That may be an unpopular opinion, but I'm quite excited. But as I start out this afternoon, evening, I agree with Jameson, it's easier to say good morning. But Elaine's told me a story from her time at Word of Life Bible Institute. It's up in Owen Sound. She did a year of Bible school there before she came to Heritage, where we met. And it's a story that I find both challenging and inspiring. It's about one of her professors and something that he would share with his students. And what he would tell them was this, that he had a prayer that he would pray each and every day for his own life and ministry. And what he would pray every single day was this, Lord, help me to finish well. Now, his desire was to live and to work faithfully for God and eventually to reach the end and to hear the Lord saying to him, well done, good and faithful servant. He wanted to finish well. And I find that story really inspiring. I think that that's something that we should all be praying for in our own lives, as well as for one another. We should have that desire to finish well. But on the other hand, I do find that kind of challenging. Because as we've seen, as we've gone through the Psalms of Ascent, this journey, life, it can be really difficult. And even in this past year, I've seen a number of well-known, prominent Christian leaders get involved in this scandal or that scandal. It's a sobering reminder that finishing well is not necessarily easy. But today, as we look at the passage that was just read for us, Psalm 134, like I said, this is the final week of our Homesick series. It's the conclusion of all of the Psalms of Ascent and the end of the journey that we've been on for so many weeks. And as we come to the end of all of this, you kind of expect Psalm 134 would be this big grand finale for this collection of psalms, sort of the culmination of everything that we've been through. You almost expect this to function kind of like you would expect to see a valedictorian speech at a graduation, sort of recapping this is where we've come from so far and then looking ahead to the future. But that's not quite what we have here, at least not at first glance. Because when you actually look at Psalm 134, and you probably noticed it when Elaine read it, this is a really short psalm. It's only three verses long to cap off this entire collection of psalms that we've been looking at for so long. But short as it may be, these are really powerful verses. As this is the last psalm in this journey, it's entirely about arrival. Now, after a long journey for a pilgrim, this is a joyful celebration at finally reaching the house of the Lord. You know, finally reaching that destination that they've been working towards for their entire journey. And I think this is a psalm that really gets at that same kind of theme that inspired the prayers of Elaine's professor, as well as the words of Paul that we saw at the beginning of the service. And it's something that's incredibly important for all of us. I want to read again those words from Paul where he says, I've fought the good fight, I've finished the race, I have kept the faith. Because the theme of this final Psalm of Ascent is all about finishing our journey well. And it shows us what's waiting for us when we do finish this journey, when we finish well. As we think about what it means for us as Christians to do that, and we look more at Psalm 134, First, we're going to look at two lessons that we learn from this psalm about what it means for us to finish well. And then at the end, I want to look at one lesson that we kind of learn from all of the psalms of ascent as a whole. At the conclusion here of everything we've been looking at over the past number of weeks, we want to look at what we learn from these psalms about how to finish this journey well. So the first two verses, we see the first lesson or the first observation about what that means. And look at what these two verses say. Come, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord who stand by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands to the holy place and bless the Lord. And so again, it begins with this pilgrim who's been on a long journey, finally arriving at his destination, where he's been trying to get. And this is the song of celebration and excitement that results from him reaching that destination. And there's not a whole lot of buildup to what's being said here in this psalm. It just kind of launches right in to this declaration of praise. Because at this point, for the psalmist, the main focus here is not on the journey anymore. That's not what he's looking at. He's not looking at where he's coming from. The focus here is on where he is now. The fact that he's finally arrived at the end. Because that's what this has all been about. And now that he's arrived, that's all that really matters in his mind. He's not talking so much about where he's come from. He's concerned now with where he is. And I think this psalm is only three verses long, because really that's as long as it needs to be. For the pilgrim, really nothing else needs to be said here. After a long journey, he's reached the house of the Lord. He's reached his final destination. And the only thing that's on his mind, all that he wants to do now that he's there, is bless the Lord and call everyone around him to join in that same goal of blessing the Lord. And in verse 2, he calls everyone who's around him to lift up their hands to the holy place. And at the end of the journey, in the house of the Lord, all eyes are on God. You know, all the focus is on him and on giving him blessing. As people are being called to lift up their hands, they're being called to turn all of their attention, all of their focus, all of their energy towards that end of blessing the Lord together. That's what the psalmist was coming to do, and now that he's here, it's all that he wants to do. But it's an interesting phrase there, come bless the Lord. When you think about that, what does that actually mean? As we read this psalm, we kind of quickly read over that phrase without giving it a whole lot of thought. But when you actually slow down and think about it, what does it mean for us to bless the Lord? You know, we hear a lot about God blessing us. We read a lot in Scripture about God blessing people. And that even comes up later in this very passage. But how can we as human beings give any blessing to God? What can we give to him that he doesn't already have? I mean, the short answer to that is nothing. We can't give God anything he doesn't already have. But that word bless is mentioned in each verse of this psalm. It's used a couple different ways. And if we're really going to understand what the psalm is saying, we have to understand what that word means and how it's being used here. And I think that Josh Moody describes really well what it looks like for us as human beings to bless the Lord. This is what he says. The blessing of God by humans is a human declaration that God is good. And then a little later, he says this, that they're not adding to the divine, eternal, complete, sufficient blessedness of God in his own person. They're witnessing to it. They're not adding anything to God. They're witnessing about who God is. That's what it means for us to bless the Lord, is to bear witness to who he is, to his goodness and to his faithfulness. We're not adding anything to him that he doesn't already have, but we're declaring loud and proud that our God is good. I think for a pilgrim here singing this song, they're coming from a long and difficult journey. And we've seen a lot of what that journey looks like as we've gone through the Psalms of Ascent. We've seen how it can be so long, how it can be so challenging. But at each step of the way, God has been faithful. He's given him all the help that he needs to get to this final destination. So all he wants to do is to cry out and bear witness to the great faithfulness of God that he's experienced on his journey. One commentary that I read described it this way, that the opening poems in this collection refer to the troubled circumstances surrounding those who opted to make a pilgrimage to Zion. Their world was not idyllic and serene, but a world fraught with those who spoke often of violence, threatened to sweep away God's people, and oppressed God's people. There were evildoers all around. In such a context, making a pilgrimage seems like an unwise choice, yet the threatening circumstances mentioned in the Songs of Ascent were matched by declarations of God's faithfulness to his people. This entire journey, through every difficult moment, through every up and down of this roller coaster ride that is the Psalms of Ascent, through every part of that, it has always come with remembrance and trust in God's faithfulness and blessing. And now at the end of this, we have this psalm that shows us where that constant trust in the faithfulness of God leads. For those of us who've trusted in Christ and remained faithful to him, it leads to an eternity of blessing the Lord and bearing witness to his faithfulness to us. That's what's waiting for us at the end of this journey when we finish well, is an eternity of blessing the Lord. Another word that you see here in some translations is come and praise the Lord. That idea of worship and witness to the greatness of God. I know I've said this before here, but I love to hear people sing and worship together. It's one of my absolute favorite things. I especially love going to things like pastors' conferences. There's one in particular I remember going to at up north in Muskoka, where it was a whole bunch of pastors come together for about a week, and during the times of worship that we would be singing together, the entire room would just be full of the sound of so many singing praises to the Lord. Would drown out anyone who was on the stage. All you could hear was the people around you singing for the glory of God. I think that's one of the most beautiful things. And when I read these two verses, come bless the Lord, that is the image that comes into my mind. Because Psalm 134, it's the fulfillment of all of the trust that these pilgrims have placed in God throughout their entire journey. In every difficulty, they've had to trust God to be faithful. And we see now in this psalm that he was. That God was faithful in every moment and brought these pilgrims safely to the end of their journey. And when I read these verses, when I think about what's waiting for us at the end of our journey, again, that's what I picture when we finish our journey well. We'll have that gift of spending eternity praising, blessing our Lord, bearing witness to his goodness and his faithfulness forever. What a great blessing and gift that will be. And so if we want to reach that point, if we want to finish well, take a cue from these Psalms of Ascent and remember God's faithfulness. Trust in him for help during the difficult moments, knowing that he will lead you safely to the end. And I mean, that sounds pretty good on its own, but that's only a part of the psalm. We're not done yet. I mean, technically it's 2/3 of the psalm, but when it's only 3 verses, that's significant. As we come to verse 3, we see the second major part of this passage. And that verse says, may the Lord bless you from Zion, he who made heaven and earth. And that verse, that sounds very familiar to a lot of the other verses that we've seen through the Psalms of Ascent, especially that part there describing God as the one who made heaven and earth. We've seen that time and again. And that wording, once again, it's meant to remind us of the journey that we've come through to get to this point. But this verse, it starts with that same word that we saw in both verses 1 and 2, bless. Only this is the second way that it's used. This time it's not talking about us blessing the Lord. Rather, it's talking about a blessing from God that's being pronounced on the people who are worshiping. Derek Kidner explains the difference here a little bit. He says the exchange is quite unequal. To bless God is to acknowledge gratefully what he is. But to bless man, God must make of him what he's not and give him what he has not. For God to bless us is to make of us something that we are not and give us something that we do not have. It's the same word that he used in each instance. The kind of blessing that we give to God and the kind of blessing that God gives to us, like they're not even in the same league. So as the pilgrims arrived at the house of the Lord with this goal and this intent on blessing the Lord, he also arrives to this pronouncement of blessing and to experiencing a great blessing from God. And the blessing that we have waiting for us at the end of our journey, the blessing from God that we get to receive, is the gift of being able to live with him in the house of the Lord forever. Enjoy eternity in his presence. Blessing him and being blessed by him. Being fulfilled and made perfect by a perfect relationship with him. And all of this, this beautiful end to our journey, so full of blessing, is only made possible through the life, death, and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's because of him, it's because of what he's done, and only through him, only through the love that he's shown to us, that the way's been opened for us to take this journey, to reach that final destination and spend eternity with God. The greatest gift and blessing that God could give us, the opportunity to give our lives to Christ, to live for him, and to spend eternity with him. You know, one of the questions that's included in the Westminster Catechism is this: what is the chief end of man? What's our purpose? Well, like, why are we here? What were we made for? And the answer that's given is this: that the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Now, that's our purpose. That's why we were made. And that's exactly what we see here in this psalm. That when we finish our journey well, we get this gift of being able to glorify God and enjoy him forever. That's the reward that's waiting for us on the other end of a life lived faithfully for him. And I mean, what greater reward could there possibly be than that? And to spend eternity in the presence of our Lord, praising him for his goodness and experiencing his blessing forever. I think even though it's very short, I think Psalm 134 is a very fitting end to this series. And so now as we wrap up this journey, I want to end with two quick things as we think about this idea of finishing well and reflect on sort of all of these psalms as a whole. Psalm 134 gives us such a wonderful picture of what's waiting for us at the end of our journey. And when we reach the end, this eternity of living in this perfect relationship with God. But as we look at the entirety of this series, I want to make an observation about how we reach that end. And let's start with telling you a story. I don't know how many of you this past summer were really invested in and watched the Olympics, but Elaine and I had quite a bit of fun watching a number of the different events. And one that we enjoyed especially, believe it or not, was the cycling road races. It's one that we didn't actually expect to enjoy. We started looking at it kind of as a joke. We thought it'd be so boring. But they were actually really interesting. These are really intense bike races. They're marathons over hundreds of kilometers that took between 5 and 7 hours to complete. And they weren't just a straight path, like going around a track. Like at one point, the athletes literally had to bike up the side of Mount Fuji. So these were very intense races. And the one that I found especially interesting this summer was the women's race. You know, when these races start, there's usually somewhere between 50 to 100 riders that will all start these bike races together. And that large group, for the most part, they'll all stay together for a big chunk of the race. Sounds kind of counterintuitive for a race, all stick together in a big group. But what that does is it allows them to all kind of share the work and spend less energy. They'll take turns with who's in front, sort of taking the brunt of the wind resistance. But at the beginning of this race, there was a group of maybe 5 or 6 riders that broke out and went pretty far ahead of this main group, all on their own. No one was really worried about this, and the commentators, they mentioned it wasn't really uncommon for this to happen at the beginning of a race, and the athletes you'd see do this were often some of the lesser known and weaker athletes in the group. Their goal was kind of to jump out in front, grab the spotlight early to provide some inspiration for the young athletes back home. And as predicted, as the race went on through the hours, slowly this group who had broken ahead started to dwindle down in numbers as these riders used up all of their energy. They had to do a lot more work. So they ended up dropping off one by one and they weren't able to finish the race. That was all of them except for one from Argentina who continued on. She ended up biking a large portion of this race completely on her own. It's a huge challenge and no one expected a whole lot from her. The commentators throughout all of the race were looking at her and basically looking at their watches, thinking, when is she going to give up? When is she going to stop? But despite the challenge that she was on her own, despite all the pain and the exhaustion that she was facing in that, she never gave up. She kept going, and she ended up winning the gold medal for Argentina. People were shocked. And the reason that she was able to keep going, even through all the brutal difficulty of that race, is because she never lost sight of her goal. She never lost sight of what she was riding for. She wanted to win that medal. She wanted to bring home that honor to her country. She never lost sight of that. And it's what gave her the motivation to keep on pushing, even when the other cyclists dropped off. When she got to the end, she collapsed. She could barely speak. But she kept on pushing, and she ended up winning that race. And I think something similar is true for us as Christians. You know, we face a really long and a really difficult journey. The Psalms of Ascent have made that pretty clear. And Psalm 134 lays out the beautiful destination that's waiting for us at the end of the road. But if we want to reach that destination, we need to run with our goal in view. Again, you look at all the Psalms of Ascent, through every struggle, you see these struggles paired with declarations that God is faithful, that God is good, with the pilgrims putting their trust in God, running with their goal in view. And we can't lose sight of why it is we're doing this. We're running this race for that privilege of being able to spend eternity with God. You know, just like the psalmist who met each challenge with these declarations that God is faithful. We need to be reminding ourselves in every moment that God is faithful, reminding ourselves in every moment of why we're doing what we're doing, keeping our eyes on our destination that we're running towards. And secondly, I want to end with this. You know, when we started out this series almost 14 weeks ago, it feels weird that it's been that long we've been doing this, but I compared this group of Psalms to a favorite book of mine, Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan. So the beginning of this group of Psalms really resembled the beginning of that book. Daryl in Psalm 120 introduced us to a world that Psalm described as being full of hostility and lies. So it was very similar to the city of destruction that the main character of that story starts out in. And now I want to read for you a small section from the end of that same book. As Christian and his companion, hopeful that he meets along the way, they finally arrive at the celestial city. After a long, difficult journey, they reach the destination they've been working towards for the entirety of their journey. This is what it says. Then I heard in my dream that all the bells in the city rang again for joy. And it was said unto them, enter ye into the joy of our Lord. I also heard the men themselves say that they sang with a loud voice, saying, blessing, honor, glory, and power be to him that sitteth upon the throne, and to the Lamb forever and ever. And that's what it's all about. If we're going to finish well, if we're going to reach that destination that's more beautiful than we can possibly imagine, we have to run this race with our destination in view. Our journey is long and hard, but our destination is worth it, to spend eternity blessing the Lord and experiencing his blessing. That's what it's all about. That is our gold medal as followers of Christ, to live with him in this beautiful relationship for eternity. And so finish the race well. Run with your destination in view, trusting in the Lord to be your help, trusting in his faithfulness in every difficulty that you face. Because our journey is long and hard, but our destination is worth it, to spend eternity blessing the Lord and experiencing his blessing. And Lord, I thank you so much that because of your Son, because of Jesus Christ, we have that destination to look forward to. And Lord, I pray that what this psalm shows would be true of all of us, God, that you would help us to finish well. Lord, we know we cannot do it without you, but we also know that you are faithful, and we long to spend eternity with you, bearing witness to your goodness and your faithfulness, and living in your presence forever. So, Lord, in whatever comes our way in this life, help us to live faithfully for you with that destination in view. Lord, we pray these things in your name. Amen.